Today we are living a sanctified life, and sometimes when you hear that word sanctification, I'm sorry to say, but I'll be picking. So anyhow, there are certain individuals that you think of whenever you think of holiness or sanctification or things like that, because they dress a certain way or they wear clothes a certain way. And the idea is that holiness is a separation to God, but it is an attitude of the heart, not necessarily what you wear and, you know, bun in your hair and, you know, things like that. But if, you know, to each their own, I just don't go there. Used to, when I was growing up, the church had a lot of rules, a lot of regulations, you know, don't do this, don't do that, don't go there. When I went to Bible school, the ladies wore blue dresses with white collars, and they were to the neck and below the hemline, and below the knee line, below the knees, not below the hemline, but they were below the knees. And guys wore white shirts and ties, and they were always buttoned and long sleeve. You weren't allowed to have anything else but that. And of course, almost all of the teachers, the professors, whatever, didn't cut their hair. Because that was, you know, a sign that, you know, somewhere along the line. But anyhow, we look at this and we look at our relationship with God, and that living a sanctified life is one, hopefully, as we look at the scriptures today, we're able to see that it's a relational experience with God that relates to our activity and how we act, what we say, what we do, things like that. So let's read the scripture in 1 John 1:7, which is the key verse. If we walk in the Spirit as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. The central truth is, when Christ as Savior and Advocate, Christians can live victorious over sin. With Christ. I said when. With Christ. All right, 1 John 1:5 and chapter 2, verse 1. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light, in Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word has no place in our lives. Then chapter 2. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commands. The man who says, I know Him, but does not do what He commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys His word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. Yet I am writing you a new commandment. Its truth is seen in Him and you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of the eyes and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. as we were saying, for many individuals, sanctification and holiness conjure up images of rules and regulations that restrict their freedom. All right? So if we are I got a new pack. Didn't open them, but I got a new pack, so I can throw some away today. All right, so holiness. And I like to, what we've been saying over the last few weeks, holiness is wholeness. And whenever we think of wholeness, what is the wholeness of our character? What is the wholeness? If you were without flaw, now I know some of you are, but if you if you were without flaw, what would you be like? What would your character be like? If you had no doubts about your relationship with God, nor no doubts about who you are, what you could do, what would you do? What creates doubts? What creates that separation from who we are as a person? What creates that separation from God's desire to work in our lives? All right, so we know that we don't live in a perfect world and we're not perfect people. So we do fail and we do sin, and sin is a, he who knows to do right and does it not is sin. So knowing to do and not, you know? Knowing to do it and not doing it, that's knowing to do right, okay? So, if we think of holiness, then where does it originate? It originates in our heart with our relationship with God and wholeness. When we think of holiness, sometimes, as we were saying, it conjures up lots of, I mean, I don't know, what do you think of whenever you think of holiness? Not seeing being good. I think of a woman with a bun in her hair and up to her hair and long dress to the ground. Okay, I'm sorry. That's, you know, I'm, yeah, that's my upbringing. You know, we were at, and again, it's nothing that there's, you know, are these people, they have, you know, everyone has, what makes, you know, it's like the guy in Northern Maine, he would never have a TV in his house. And he didn't. You know, it isn't like he had a TV in the barn and not in the house. No, he didn't have a TV. And he didn't want a TV. And he said, and, you know, he would go to other people's homes, you know, and he's there. He would watch television. He said, well, and he said, I argued with God about this. He said, I really felt that God told me that I was not to have a television in my house. And then he said, well, why, God, can I not, and why is it I can't have one and they can? And the answer that came to him was what was the answer that came to him? It just left me. Yeah. He said, your faith, have it to yourself. The scriptures talks about having it to yourself, that for his life and his purpose, that was what was right for him in his relationship with God, and where he was at in his relationship with God, he was not, in his own mind, in his relationship, he was not allowed to have a television, okay? Because that's what he felt God spoke to him, and he couldn't pass judgment on anybody else who had one, okay? So the same thing is with, you know, if someone thinks that, you know, that holiness is in you know, is in that type of separation, then they, maybe that's what they need to have in their life. And, you know, some people even think I'm wrong. Right. Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, if he was out preaching against it and then had one in the closet, now that's sin. Right. Right. And for some individuals, you know, like I had two funerals this week, and both of them, neither of the families had any religious background. and had, you know, so some would have criticized me for the way that I preached, but, you know, because I know some that would preach, and it's like, you've got them there, you've got a captive audience, get them saved, and, you know, don't let anybody out till someone, you know, gives their heart to the Lord. And, you know, I don't think that that's the place for it, but I think it's a place for presenting the truth and allowing God's love and presenting the word in such a way that it makes sense, you know, and let the Spirit do the rest. So everyone has their own way of doing it, just like chaplains for chaplain ministry is totally different than pastoral care ministry, than pastoring. You know, they're just two different avenues of ministry. The guys who are biker chaplains don't connect with, you know, pastors who are running churches. They just don't. You know, they're just two different approaches to ministry. You know, so if you're the chaplain at the racetrack, you know, the preacher's preaching against going to the racetrack, and there's a guy, a chaplain there with the horses and the jockeys. You know? So each one has their own specific ministry. So that's why whenever we think of holiness, that we need to think of it in the context of completeness, wholeness, completeness, that we are complete in Christ. And that relationship that we have with God is one that is healing us as a person and taking us in our relationship closer to God. It isn't something that we look at and say, okay, here's the rules, just like the Pharisees. Pharisees said, this is what I'm doing, and I'm good. If we do that, then we've taken away from what God wants us to be. All right. So many of these images that we have that are wrong come from a bad theology of the past in which holiness was conceived as primarily a list of behaviors to be avoided or to be imitated. So if you do this, you go to heaven. If you don't, you go to hell. You know, that kind of stuff. Never worked. False notions of freedom, as though to be free is to be able to do anything one wants. So the other side of it is, we have the list, and that's not it. And then there's complete freedom, and that's not it. And complete freedom is just go and do whatever you want, you know? It's like if God enjoys saving people from their sin, then let's go on sinning so that God can be happy. That's in the scriptures. So both of these extremes come from a wrong perspective. They come from a wrong approach. In this lesson, John deals with both misconceptions and instead portrays holiness as a life of genuine freedom that enables individuals to achieve their complete potential as a human being. So we enjoy genuine freedom. And the freedom that we have in Christ, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And the freedom that we have in Christ does not make us or does not bring us into the bondage of sin. So whenever we are, sin is a deteriorator. We talked about it being a poison. It is like a snake venom. It, what was the word we used? Disintegrates. It disintegrated the tissues. It disintegrated the bone. You know, we talked about the lady, the individual had bit by a snake in their whole hand, almost lost their arm, lost their life. But it was all deteriorated and deformed because the venom deteriorated and ate, as it were, the muscle and the tissue, and to the point that it almost killed them. So sin is that way of deterioration of the soul and deterioration of our character so that we become, become sinful. So the freedom that John offers involves living in the truth about God, oneself, and the world. So freedom is self, understanding ourself, understanding the world in which we live, and how that we have freedom Now, there's nothing free about freedom. If you have freedom, it costs somebody something. All right? So what is it, the truth of God's word about ourselves and about what's going on? John suggests that freedom is about making wise choices. That's the part I was headed towards. Wise choices. And the wise choices is based upon the wisdom of the word, not the jumping to conclusions, but the choices of what the word says about our life and what we are to do and how we are to act. So whenever we are talking about sanctification, separation from sin, what is a wise choice? And for the guy that couldn't have a TV, his choice, his wise choice, was not to have it. But his wise choice was not to pass judgment on others who did. All right? So, that was where we were at. So, the wise choice. Wise choices emerge from abiding in the truth rather than in deception. So, what is the truth? What is the truth of God's word? So, the entrance of the path of freedom is God's faithfulness to forgive. One of the reasons that we create rules, is because we want to find a way to please God. Okay? We can't please God by following rules. We serve God and we love Him, and because we love Him, we have the freedom to choose choose how these rules are brought in our life. You know, we're free to understand how God wants them brought into our life. So we have freedom to choose. And we don't create the laws. We follow them. And we don't follow them to say, hey, look at me. Look what I've done. We follow them as an example of being like Christ. So if we are like Christ, then we have the freedom to choose, and we are here for a higher purpose. And the higher purpose is to serve the Father. That's what Jesus was here. He's here to do the will of the Father. What are we here for? We're here to do the will of Jesus, the Son. And if we are doing the will of the Son, we are glorifying Him, not looking and saying, okay, hey, look at me. I'm able to keep all these rules. Look at the way I dress. Look where I go. Look what I do. Look, you know, what have we done? We have created a way that we think we're going to make God happy. God is happiest, if we can use that word. I don't like to use that word. God, you cannot make God happy. He already is. If we receive what He has for our life, then we become in fellowship with Him and we receive that happiness into our life. Okay? So, those who recognize the truth of their own sinful behavior and how that God offers forgiveness, then we find that just as we cannot save ourselves from our sins, we cannot live a life of holiness on our own. We need God to work in our life to bring that about in our life. So just as we can't save ourselves from sin, we need God's grace, His Word, His Spirit, to help us to live a holy life, which in turn has benefits for us, which is wholeness and completeness and, all that stuff. So as individuals begin the journey of holiness, they will discover a freedom to love deeply because their love will not be grounded in deceptions about who they are or who God is. So you're able to love more. Why? Because you're following God's rules and not yours. And you're able to love those who are unlovable and forgive those who seemingly are unforgivable. Why? Because of who God is. So, what are your thoughts? Holiness is not the absence of doing evil. Right.
And it's like, but that's what we believe, because we're doing good on the outside of the action, good on the outside, but we're not doing anything. I didn't murder anyone. I didn't steal from anyone. I didn't lie about this person. That's all it takes to be there. And that, when I read that in that book, I thought, boy, that just applies so much to those people.
Right. Holiness is not the absence of doing evil. Right.
So many people get caught up in doing good because they think they have to follow this regimen of just doing all these acts, that's what gets them to heaven. So I think Joyce Meyer said one time, she said it's not your do. God's not as concerned with what you do as he is with your who.
Yeah. Yeah, it's again. If our relationship with God is based upon the external, and we are saying this is, you know, I'm holy, or I'm a Christian because just look what I don't do. It's not going to happen. But in the same token, you can't have complete freedom. Oh, I'm free and I can go do this and I can go do that and I can go anywhere and do anything I want. I'm going to go to heaven. Well, that's not it either. So it's like trying to find that walk with God that is about our heart and about the relational experience. And, you know, How then do we arrive there? How then do we, and I think it, and it is through the scriptures, and how that we have that relationship with God, and how that the scriptures direct us. You know, what would Jesus do? You know, those types of things that we're trying to be like Christ and trying to live that type of a life. You know, Pharisees got all over Jesus because he went into the sinners and the publicans' house. You know, well, they wouldn't do such a thing, but Jesus would. You know, so yeah, so they were, you know, telling, you know, Jesus he was not, he was ceremonially unclean. You know, you got to go clean yourself up now. You've been contaminated. You know, so, any other thoughts? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And again, like you said about some of the churches, and again, it's we got enough of our own problems. But why is it that it's only the women that are the ones that are set out? Okay, you dress a certain way. Well, what about the guys? What are they doing? You know, are they living a holy life? You know, are they, you know, so what are they doing to exude the same character that the woman is supposed to be doing? And again, doesn't have to be holiness traditions. It can be other traditions where, you know, the woman is a slave, basically. I remember we went to a pastor school. This is back in 1973. I think it was about 75, somewhere in there. It was, and we stayed with this young couple. This church had 21,690 people in church on Sunday morning, okay? So that was a real big thing back in the, you know, 70s. So we went to their pastor school. And so we stayed with this couple, and they were just graduated from their seminary and so on. And the guy walked in, sat down in the chair. The wife came in, she knelt down, took off his shoes, put on his slippers. She, you know, and he was king. I said, well, I want this religion. You know, because this particular church and denomination, that was, you know, woman was there to serve, and that was it, you know, and that's why she was here. And yes. Well,
like, there's only 10 commandments, but the church
about 172. Yeah. Well, I don't know. The command, what do we have?
We have unspoken
rules. Yeah, we have unspoken rules. You know, don't spit on the floor. You know, don't. No.
Don't drink, don't chew.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't drink, you don't chew, you don't date the women who do, you know. but I'm not a rule person, you could tell, huh? I think that if God doesn't give you the rules, then there's no need for me to give them to you. I remember Lauren Parent, this is up in northern Maine, whenever we had that prayer group in the convent. And, you know, the churches that supported us while we were there, they wanted to know what I was doing to make sure that I cleaned up the Catholics, you know. You know, was I getting them saved, and was I, you know, making them, you know, Pentecostals like we should be? And, you know, while they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and God did that. You know, we were in a prayer group, and they sat around, and they sat, you know, we had, you know, and I would do a little Bible study with them, and I had like two or three priests and seven or eight nuns and 10 or 12 townspeople, and we had a little prayer group in the convent, and the other nuns babysit Rachel. So, I mean, it was a very unique situation. But Lauren Parent, he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit driving. He owned a fuel company, And he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit driving down the road in his field truck. Okay? So, and again, you know, people are saying to us, well, what are you telling them about what they're not supposed to do? I said, well, I figure if we get close enough to God, God will tell them. And Lauren was sitting in the bar, drinking his beer, and he's sitting there, and he's, and this is his testimony, I remember. He's sitting there, he grabbed hold of the beer, and he looked at it, and he's sitting in the bar, and he looked around, and he says, you know what? I don't belong here anymore. And he put it down, he walked away. And he told the other people that. And the other people says, yeah, we've been feeling that same thing. So it was like, if you get close enough to God, you don't have to say, don't do this, don't do that, and don't go there. You're going to know. And that is better than me sitting here saying, okay, you know what you're supposed to wear, and you know what you're supposed to do, and you should be doing this, and you should be doing that. No. You preach the word, you teach the word, let the Spirit convict the heart. And if you won't listen to God, I won't listen to God, then we're in trouble. You're not hiding behind something, you know, got your TV in the closet, you know. You're not hiding those sins. And so the idea is that if God doesn't convict you, then listening to me isn't going to do you any good. Because, you know, it's not going to work. Yeah. Yeah, they didn't know anything about this. Well, why wouldn't you go to the bar? They've been to the bar all their life, been to church all their life. Why wouldn't you go to the bar? And what's that? Intention? Yeah. In your own heart, what God knows the thoughts and the intentions of your heart. So that's where we always, and I always kind of go back there. God knows what I meant. And that's my security, because sometimes people take it totally the wrong way and I didn't mean it that way. And sometimes it isn't. Now, sometimes it isn't my fault. Sometimes it is. But sometimes it isn't my fault the way people take things. You know? Now, sometimes it is, you know. I can get upset. Yeah, being offended weakens you. And that was in the sermon. Yeah, being offended only weakens you. So how then, we should get into the lesson. But but this is the lesson. So how then do we accept this walk with God? Yeah. How then does holiness, this separation, you know, and I think it is a, is a hard thing to grasp sometimes, because if I'm, well, what am I supposed to be doing? Well, what would make God happy? Am I making God, is God sad with me? Well, the only time God is sad with us is whenever we grieve His Spirit. Grieving Him is like, when someone loves you, you love someone, and they misinterpret what you want them to do. Or you don't do what they know is right for you. Like, God knows what is right for us. And so His Spirit will prompt us. He'll speak to our hearts. He'll give us that prompting. You know, and that's why I think teaching and preaching and all that is so valuable, because it helps us get a concept, hopefully, a picture of what God wants us to do. And if we follow that, what's going on? We're finding a place to be close to God. And, you know, the disciples, who was the one who was closest to Jesus? Was John the Beloved. John is the one who wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. And in at the Last Supper, where's John? He's sitting by Jesus with his head on his shoulder, on his chest. That's close. And I think when you're that close, you're not worried about being holy. You're worried about pleasing than being close to Jesus. Yeah, you would not want to hurt him. And then when you do, John forsook Jesus, just like the other ones. But he had to deal with it and come back and get the right perspective, because he had a wrong perspective. Jesus is going to set up a kingdom, and he didn't. He died. You know, and then when he rose, came back, appeared, everything turned around. So. Right.
But if you know God's convicted you of something and you know that it's not the right thing and you still do it and say, well, God will forgive me, or, you know, or I'm just in this situation, I need to be with these people or whatever, I think you can still do some of those things, but not, you know, I mean, like, be places or maybe not even be places. That's what I'm saying. But sometimes you really have to be careful, because I know that at school, you know, people look at you in a different way, because, of course, it might be the minister's wife, but, you know, they do. If you get upset, they do it all the time, but I do it one time, and it's like, I have to ask forgiveness, because not only of God forgiving me, but I need to ask them to forgive me. I'm sorry I said that, I'm sorry I got so angry, because that is not, you know, for us, it's a different standard.
Not acceptable. Well, it's like the lady at a funeral yesterday. Her husband said, we didn't know he was a preacher. First couple of times he was there, we cursed the blue streak. He didn't even get offended. You know? She was... Yeah.
After a while, I knew when he came in the door, I wanted to not.
Yeah. He didn't want to curse anymore, you know. Yeah. But you know, it's and I think that this whole concept is then. Verse 8 says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." So if we look at ourselves and say, you know what? I remember my nephew Mark, when he was a little kid. My sister-in-law, they're Catholic, you know. So Mark went to confession. It was his first confession. And you got to know, Mark's, he's 40 years old now, but when he was little, he goes into the confession, and he's in there for an hour, you know. And he comes out, and his mother says, "Mark, what did you do?" He says, "I didn't do anything, Mom. That priest just kept asking me stuff." And I said, "No, I didn't do that. No, I didn't do that. I didn't have anything to confess." So he was, you know, "I don't know what this guy wants. You know, I have no sins." So. Yeah. And that, but see, when Jesus shows up with us, we show up with Jesus, Jesus shows up with us, we don't have to do anything. Sin is automatically pushed, repels. I mean, evil is already like bristly, like a cat. You know, it just rears itself up, you know. And you didn't even do anything. You showed up and they're already bristly, you know. And, well, what do I do? It's didn't do anything. Just be there, be Jesus there. And, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, there's three ifs here. If, and what this is doing, it's telling us that it's conditional. That upon the upon arriving here, if we say we have no sin, so that's a, if we think we don't have sin, we're in trouble, okay? Then number two, if we confess it, so if we know that we have sin, now the second step is if we confess it. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if we recognize that we've sinned, if we confess our sins, and if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And you don't tell God he's a liar. So if we see, it's a conditional statement. So if we follow through with these things, what are we doing? We're getting our right relationship in place to live for God. And if we are breaking his commands, we need to pay attention to that. Because we're the ones who are taking away our wholeness. When we sin, we take away the wholeness, the completeness that God has for us to be. So sin is not only hurting our relationship with God, sin is hurting us. That's why God wants us to be forgiven. It isn't so he can be happy, it's so that you and I can be whole. So God has you and I in mind when he says, you need forgiveness. You need restoration. You need the word. So God is saying, this is what is good for you. This is what I have plans for you and everything that I want you to do in your life. I want, you know, it's all in there. And how are you going to bring it out is then this completeness and get away from the sin that would detract from who you are, deteriorate who you are, rob you of your potential. And what sin does is take away from the wholeness. So God says, let's get rid of anything that will rob you of your wholeness. And you'll find holiness in that relationship. So he's looking out for us as a parent would look out for the child. He's taking care of us. And this is his advice to us. No, what do you need God for?
I need God.
Yeah. Anything else? Amen. Amen. God bless us. God bless us, everyone. Next Sunday, we're having a baptismal service. And the reason that it's so quick is that Jan and Walt got their pool finished and their yard finished. And we're going to have it at Jan and Walt's. So there's going to be a baptismal service next Sunday, right after church. So we're going to bring your own chair, and we're going to have hot dogs and sloppy joes.
Be provided, and then you can bring, like, it'll be more like, I think, the mountain type.
Yeah.
We went out on the mountain.
It's not a four-course meal, you know. But then after the picnic and the baptismal, then we can swim and whatever, those who like to swim. And
some way we need to let you know who wants to.
Yes, if you're going to be baptized, immersed in water, let me know. Brad and I will do the honors. Yeah, I know. There's one. Wanda wants to be. Yeah, so. But have any questions about baptism, let me know. We can talk about it next Sunday morning, too, in Sunday school. Why don't we do that, too? We'll bring it up. So, okay? So I'll make sure I make that announcement in church, too. Father, again, thank you for blessing this day, your word to our hearts, our life to service to you. Draw us close to you. Make us whole, O God, through your word, your spirit, your touch upon our lives.